Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
In Ukraine, where Joseph Lindsley is. Joe, hello to you. I want to talk to you about a couple of things. First of all, one of the headlines today, Ukrainian military says Russia is making door-to-door conscription checks in occupied areas. What do you know about this?
Yeah, we've been hearing some reports. I mean, and good afternoon, Bob. Good morning. It's tough to really get the full picture of what's happening in occupied territories. The BBC did have a good story where they're able to communicate via private, secure messaging apps with people who are in occupied Kherson and parts of Donbass. And yeah, this is the tactic of the Russians is to break people's spirits. And there's I just watched a video actually of a guy from Chechnya, which is the region that's part of Russia and it borders the free country of Georgia. And the Chechens a long time ago rebelled against the Russians. And this Chechen warrior, he had his face covered, but he was explaining how the Russians are trying to break people. So he said when women in his Republic of Chechnya, when they protest the government, even now, the Russian secret police, the FSB, which is the successor to the KGB, they find out the fathers and the husbands of these women, and they send them to the front. They send them to Ukraine without any training. And so these are the same tactics that the Russians use in these occupied cities. So, I mean, as difficult as, many things are here in Ukraine, in various cities, it is really, and I was trying to imagine that, how unbelievably awful and difficult it must be to live in a city occupied.
Yeah, no question about it. And it seems like there's good and bad news today. Russia attacked President Zelensky's hometown and other targets on Sunday with suicide drones. But Ukraine took back full control of that strategic eastern city in Lyman in a counteroffensive that could reshape the war. What do you make of all that, Joseph?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing the steady progress, like the reversal of what we saw in the first months where, week by week, different cities would fall into Russian hands. Now we're seeing the opposite. And so Lyman is the latest great victory. And by all accounts from the soldiers there, as soon as they get to these towns to begin the liberation, the Russians, usually they run. And I've seen videos of this. They flee. I saw a video of a Ukrainian Jewish soldier. He's also a citizen of Israel. And he was pointing to some dead Russians on the ground. And he said, these people came, and these are Russians from the eastern part of the country. At least he thought, based on the way they looked. And he said, these guys came 6,000 kilometers to denazify me, a Jewish Ukrainian, born in Ukraine, also a citizen of Israel. Hmm. So this is completely ridiculous. And so we are seeing these good, and you see the energy from the Ukrainians. So even on TikTok videos, Ukrainians, in between these battles are able to sing and dance. And there is such a joy and an energy. And I wanted to say complacency, but there's a sense that, okay, we got to keep going, but much good progress is being made. On the other side of that, though, for example, here in Lviv, there was an air alarm at about 7:30 this morning. We had a couple weeks with no air raid alarms whatsoever, but now, the world is starting to become afraid again of, how is Putin going to retaliate to these embarrassing losses? And so, for example, I heard the air alarm this morning, and, you first have to listen more closely and say, wait, is that the nuclear tone? Is that the chemical attack tone? Or is that just a standard issue air raid alarm? And that really is here in Lviv in the coffee shops. And I mean, that people are talking about what is going to happen next. A friend texted me last week and he said, he had to explain to his 12-year-old daughter. She said, is it true that Putin is going to use a nuclear bomb? And he said, this is ridiculous and horrible that I have to have conversations like this. With a 12-year-old girl. And so we are sort of in this mood of uncertainty. But, you look at a big thing that happened last week, when Putin annexed these Ukrainian territories. And very interestingly, it was September 30th. He declared that these territories, were becoming part of Russia. One day later, one of those key towns is back in Ukraine. So I think it was a big blow to Putin. But in that speech that he gave last week, He didn't mention Ukraine, of course, because he wants to erase the idea of Ukrainian identity. And so he was attacking the West. And he's very savvy in his propaganda. And a lot of the things he says about the West, I think people in America might say, oh, yeah, he's, you know, yeah, there's a lot of greed and we're governed by corporations. And so he's making all these points. But what gets completely missed in that is that Ukraine is very different. It's in between the East and the West, between Russia and Europe in many ways. And Ukraine is, I want to keep reiterating this. It's such a unique democracy where people are sort of, they can govern themselves. The country is not run by corporations. Our laws, the laws here are not written the same way our laws in America are. You know, so often they're, you know, controlled by lobbyists. And here, citizens can band together, I think, in a way you used to be able to in America and be very effective. And so Putin wants to erase this idea of Ukrainian democracy. And he, in his speech, he sounds like a victim. He says the West is trying to enslave us, and, you know, which is ridiculous because that's exactly what he's trying to do to Ukraine. And when I heard that speech, and you see the Russians that are in the square in the Kremlin, something that, you know, Ukrainians cannot congregate in a public place because they could get bombed. And here the Russians are free to congregate, you know, without worrying about getting attacked. And they have this victim mentality. And I think, you know, we see this sometimes in America, too, that we start to fall into victimhood. And I think when you look at Russia, you see how that can be very dangerous for a country, because then, you know, you have to blame someone for your problems. And you saw this in Germany in the 1930s. They started to blame the Jewish people. And but if you can resist this victim mentality, which the Ukrainians have done so well, even amid these nuclear fears, you know, you still hear people singing on the streets, and you still, people keep going with their lives. And so I think that this is kind of the heart of the different mentalities of these nations. Another nation where people are resisting the victim mentality is Iran, where women are bravely no longer covering their faces. And it takes an amazing amount of courage, and they're refusing to be victims. And I think it was yesterday in London, there were two simultaneous protests, one in favor of Iran and one in favor of Ukraine. And they happened to meet near Trafalgar Square. And it was beautiful to watch these videos, because then they started chanting together, the Ukrainians and the Iranians in London, standing for freedom, not as victims.
We have a lot to learn from the people of Ukraine, not just the way the soldiers have handled this war, but the way the president has handled himself, the government, and the people there. Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. Thank you, Joe, and we pray for peace. Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.